Hello everyone, I would like to bring this meeting to order at 5:32 PM on March 25th, 2024. This is the City of Tukula Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. I'm the chair. Today we have Councilmember Dennis Martinez and Councilmember Hannah Hendricks with us. Before we start on our first agenda, Brandon has requested that we start with item H, which is the electric vehicle charging stations grant acceptance, fleet and facilities and justice center agenda item. Is that fine with our council members? Do we have consensus on that?
Yeah.
Councilmember Martinez?
Yeah.
Okay. Then in that case, we'll start with item H. Can we have
Katrine's going to do the communication.
All right.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening. Katrine DeBoer, Public Works Grants Analyst. So back in the fall, I was just kind of looking for other grant opportunities that were coming through. I get regular emails with different opportunities, and I saw one from the Department of Commerce, and they were offering more than $64 million to public agencies for electric vehicle charging stations. So I thought that was a unique idea, and there was a lot of money coming out to local jurisdictions for that. So come December, I applied for this grant application, or I applied and submitted an application. It's a no-match grant opportunity, and I filled in, they were ranked by location, so I put in like the parcel number, the address, so each site was ranked on its own merits. And through the grant process and through their recommendations, the Fleet and Facilities Building and the Justice Center rose to the top of the scored list. So we received funding for those two sites to implement two level two charging stations. And in the packet, I attached a little handout showing the differences between the different chargers, just because that was something that was new to me. So if it's also new to you, there's a little more information there. We were awarded $23,000, which will fund both the sites. And that should cover all the expenses necessary to install them. Again, those for just for those two locations, and there's no local city match. So I'm here today to ask council to accept this Washington Electric Vehicle Charging Program grant award, which is administered by the Department of Commerce in the amount of $46,000. And that's the total of both $23,000 per site, and consider this at the consent agenda on April 1st of 2024. And I'll stop there for now.
Thank you.
Oh, go ahead. You got a question? Okay. So a couple of questions.
Sure.
So you said that you applied for the grants, and mm-hmm. were these the only two facilities that you applied for, or did you apply for other facilities within Tesla?
Yeah, I applied for other facilities. I also applied for the Justice Center Fleet and Facilities, City Hall, and the Tukwila Community Center. And so there was public sites and there was workplace sites, and they were scored differently. So the workplace sites, which are the two that got funding, scored well compared to our public sites, just compared to all the other city halls in the region and the state, they didn't score as well. So I applied for all of those facilities, but only our workplaces were selected for funding.
Okay. So, and then the follow-up question. So the level two charger, that's a quick charge. You know, that's a 220 charge. So yeah, so it's a quick charge. So I'll ask, I know this guy's here, but I don't know about the Justice Center. I'm sure that in the public workout fleet facility, we have a 50 amp breaker available, correct?
Yes. So both sites, what we did is for the whole community, both sites, we did the due diligence before we applied. So when the Justice Center was designed by the architect, the architect has provided underground service to come up to those two parking stalls where we're proposing. Same with the fleet and facilities. When we did the security gate, we had to lay a pipe underground to come up to that point, so we have selected that location. So both the sites that we have grants now that we're about to get into contract are ready with the wiring pretty much sitting right there. We don't have to disturb too much of the ground. We just pull the wire through it. It's a little bit of striping and the panel board installation.
We also got a letter of support from Seattle City Light. they had to do an initial kind of capacity analysis to make sure we could support the charging infrastructure. And so they'll have to do other assessments, but they wrote us a letter of support for the application.
Good. And that was my follow-up question, whether we had conduit, you know, because I know that both facilities are new.
Yeah.
And sometimes we, you know, it's cheaper to put conduit in for future use.
Yes.
Because it's cheap then.
Yeah.
So that works out great. So with those three questions answered, I'm perfect with it.
Thank you.
Do you want to?
Yes, I have some questions. So these two parking spots that are contemplated are on the court side. I guess I don't know what the future holds for EV parking at this site. I assumed it was for city vehicles that we anticipate having an electric fleet.
Mm-hmm.
We will never have an electric fleet for the court. So I assumed it was for the police side. So I don't know why. And I understand that the conduit comes up where it does. But I don't understand why we would put these two here and take up two more spots out of the court parking area without perhaps an investment from the city to extend the conduit to an area where you could actually put in EV chargers for police vehicles, for a future fleet of police vehicles. Right now, they would be in a spot where we're already needing parking for the court. Right now, there's 12 spots. We have 12 employees. We absorb four handicapped spots at the Justice Center. So putting these two spots would take two more spots away from the court parking. And let me ask, I read about how these are supposed to be put in, and it says that there has to be signage about this being an electric charging station.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions I was asking the city is, how do we get around when there are no electric vehicles that are in use at the Justice Center? How are those going to be available for employees?
So I'm going to come back. Let's talk about first parking at the Justice Center. So we have the employee area parking. There is area for sufficient parking. Even if we lost these two stalls, which I would talk about that later, we have parking for court that they can go into the police side, which we've never really we've had an unofficial thing saying that this is court and we can maintain the court area and say that's only for court employees. But the PD side has said that there's plenty of parking over there for PD for any court employees. What we've also said is that we definitely do not currently have fleet, any vehicles in our public works or any city fleet that are electric. What we're doing is planning for the future. Just like when we installed those two, the conduit to those two stalls, the fact that we did that was clearly showed our intent from the design team that we said these would be our two electric stalls. We didn't know we needed the stalls, but let me back up. We were planning for the future, just like we're planning for the future now. Public works facilities, our janitor staff could park there, and if we ever had an electric vehicle at night, and charge their stalls. So as far as signage, what I have said to Trish was that we could look at having these stalls be available in the daytime for court staff, since we currently don't need them right now for our electric charging, and they'd be open at night. And so that is what we have talked about doing as a way to so that the court can continue. There's some we don't have motorcycle police officers right now, so we looked at the future of converting those stalls to ADA stalls and moving our ADA stalls down there, but we don't have a ramp down there right now. So we eventually have to add a ramp. So that is kind of so the committee has all the backstory about what we've been talking about here. This was free money, and we were just anticipating that hopefully in the future we're going to have electric cars because that's where we're seeing it go. And then I think we can accommodate the court by the stalls being available for the days that you're on staff, that you're on site. So.
Oh, go Tanner.
Yeah, go Tanner.
Yes. So it says that the chargers will be behind a secure gate and will be available for employee and city vehicle use. Mm-hmm. Am I interpreting that correctly when it means that an employee could charge their personal vehicle at one of these stalls?
No, not personal vehicle.
And I'm sorry, Council, I have not met you. So I'm Kim Walden, I'm the judge. It's very nice to meet you. This was one of my big concerns, is that originally, and I read the paperwork, that it did indicate that employees could park there. Not only do I have a problem with that from an ethics perspective, and I prepared a presentation that to me violates not only the local TMC, but also the RCW about the employees' use of public funds for their personal use. So that was a huge concern for me when I saw the paperwork. Again, I'm all about free money. I think that's great. But employees using public funds when it's not a de minimis gift is against the law. So when I approached this, this was a huge concern for me, because not only am I concerned about not only the TMC, which prohibits us from using public funds, but so does the RCW, but the Judicial Conduct Commission as well is hearing this issue, because as a judicial officer, I have to hold my employees to the same standards that I'm held to. And so seeing judicial employees charging their personally owned vehicles with a city charging device at no cost to them is not only a violation of, in my opinion, from reading the TMC and the RCW, but also of my state ethics code. And so I ask, you know, if this is, if we say no employees, but if the court employees are still allowed to park in these stalls during the day when we're at work, we're then parking in a stall that is reserved for electric charging. Correct me if I'm wrong, there has to be signage that says, when I read the standards, signage that indicates these are for charging stalls. So if my employees, when we're there, and remember, some of them telework, this is a temporary situation. I'd like the city to find permanent solutions for situations, not a temporary solution. So if court employees park in a stall that says it's reserved for electric charging, then it's the same thing as parking in a handicapped spot. It's an infraction. So if I would ask that if that's the compromise, that you're going to allow court employees to park in a charging spot during the day, that there's signage that says parking is permitted if you're not charging. And it may require an ordinance, I don't know, between 1700 and 0900. Another issue that came to my mind when it proposed that employees can park there is with the union. So you're behind a gate, and court employees are there, and police employees are there. If they're able to charge their personally owned vehicles, what are we going to do about the rest of the city employees who want essentially a free tank of gas at the government's expense? So I really had a problem, and I don't mean to sort of toss, you know, problems into this, but I'm being held to a fairly high standard, and I have to hold my employees to a high standard. And I just want to make sure that if we're going to come up with a fantastic solution, that we have EV chargers, that we look at this as a permanent solution, which is why I suggested that those conduits be extended to the police parking area, which where they park their vehicles for rapid deployment, because someday I would assume the city is going to have electric police vehicles. We'll never have electric vehicles in the court. And I would hope that having a parking area for the court would be something that the court or that the city would want to maintain, because there is a secure court entrance right there by the court parking lot that's not for anybody else but court employees.
So I sorry, Councilmember. No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Councilmember Martinez.
So I'll say this. I agree with the judge, and I'm going to do a little backstory. One of the firefighters used to have an electric vehicle way back when it was the very first electric vehicle. He was told no for a reason, because it is illegal. She is correct. Yeah. It is strictly illegal. Can't do that. I wish that if this discussion was going on prior to this meeting, somebody would have brought us a little parking lot map. I would like to see that parking lot map, because I'll tell you, I understand what the judge is saying about possibly rerouting conduits around the pipes and stuff, but that'll eat up that
$23,000. We don't have the money for that. We won't do that. I'll be very frank. We will not expend city funds to do that right now. We do not have the money to do that. When we built this facility, we built it with these stalls in place. So
then my ask is, and again, that's why I was asking for a map, is to see how far would it be to reassign court two different stalls with law enforcement, which for law enforcement office. Is it like a 50 foot walk, 20 foot walk? I mean, just guesstimate that people were guessing, because again, we're talking, you know, I understand where she's coming from 100%, but you also have to understand when grants are grants, you know, usually, you know, there's strings attached or no strings attached. This string will have a big attachment if we have to move, if we have to relocate Pine Beach, and I will not support that, because again, both of you are correct. We don't have the money. You know, we got a budget year coming up, and we got to figure out where the money's come from. I applaud that you went out and found these, you know.
And I'll also add, I didn't include the map because I wasn't sure this conversation was, like, I didn't know, want to set in stone what we were going to do, where the placement was going to be. So that's why I didn't include a map yet.
When do we have to spend the grant funds by?
From when we signed the contract, we have 270 days.
Okay. And I think the choice here is, do we want to take this money or not? If we have, if we have an intent that we cannot put it at this current location, let's not take it. I mean, we're not saying we must take this money. So if you take it, you have to make it happen within the funds that are available.
So,
Brandon, can you talk more about the parking?
Yeah, so there is nothing. So I was the deputy project manager on the Justice Center when it was built. And we allocated parking. There's nothing in the plans that went through any approval process that said, this is court, this is police. The only stalls that are fully restricted are up in the front, right there are the patrol. I'm going to go up here.
Can you get a little?
Yeah, these stalls here are for patrol. These are for officers that are currently on duty, on patrol. They were parked there when they're in the building. These stalls used to be our motorcycle parking. We no longer have motorcycle stalls. So these are for officers who are on duty, who could go in and quickly leave.
Can you show us where the courts
parked here? Yeah. These are ADA stalls. And then this is parking available for, there's city vehicles up there. There's also private vehicles. There's trailers. I went up there when court was in session. Staff was on site. These stalls are used, and there's plenty of stalls over here as well. So we looked, and so what I talked to Trish about, the court administrator, was that these ADA stalls probably should eventually be moved there. We can't do that yet until we build a ramp. And so at some future date, we could build a ramp here and move our ADA stalls over here. The police department says they have no concerns with court staff parking over there. The other thing I would also mention is, from a parking demand standpoint, pure parking demand, we're moving to at-home or take-home vehicles, so the parking demand by PD will be a little bit less. So two issues I just want to say. There's the parking demand and the parking count, and there's the ethics. They're two separate things. On the ethics side, first, some things that could address it. One, we just won't let city employees use it. I'd also ask the question of, do court employees have a different ethics standards? I think you answer this in the hallway than perhaps other city employees.
Could you fill us in the conversation in the hallway, because it was a part of the meeting?
Do you mind, council member?
Yeah.
Okay, my apologies.
No, it's fine.
This is what the parking lot looks like historically in the parking. The court would park here at City Hall when the court was located in the City Hall. The court had a lot of court customers. We're very busy. City employees complained about how many parking spaces we were taking. So they took those three spots out front, made them 3-hour parking, so that eliminated parking because they did not want court to be able to take up all the parking spots. I had a court leader or a city leader tell me that maybe we ought to have city or court employees move off site so it gives room for court customers. This has been a big issue with the court. We were moved off site. I rode my bike to work for 6 to 8 months when this was closed off. So when we designed this, and I attended every single design meeting, this area was designed for court parking. Right now, there are 9 spots here, and there are 3 spots here, and there are 4 handicapped spots here. This is the secured court entry. That is why this was designated as court parking. This is where the vehicles of the police actually park their vehicles for rapid deployment. I'll explain in a minute. People are not allowed to be entering into this part here, the secured parking lot or secured court entrance, including the police department, unless they're there for an emergency. This is what that part looks like, the 9 spots against the wall there.
So where would the, could you show us on?
Yes, your absolutely. So let me go back. Sorry. Go back. Okay, on the map, against the wall is here. These are the 9 spots. And okay. I'm going to show you what it looks like with the 3.
Okay.
So here is the 9.
Okay.
This is where court employees park. Now, mind you, we're only all there on Wednesday because we're still on a telecommute schedule. This is could be a temporary situation. We have 12 employees. We could say one day they should all come in every day. So this is what those 4 spots look like on the other side. 4 handicapped spots that we've absorbed on our side. There are just 3 here. This is where it is proposed for those EV chargers to be placed. And you can see in this picture where all of those police vehicles are parked backwards so that they can rapidly deploy, as Brendan mentioned, to leave out the gate. This is the secured court entrance. This is right next to that parking spot. That is where we enter the court. Here is the area that's beyond the court area that was described, where the police department has vehicles parked, trailers parked, and other things. We out of respect for the police department, do not park our vehicles over there because we understand their rapid deployment as well as their need to stage their equipment. We can only park in our little area because that is what was discussed when we were planning the Justice Center. This is what raised my concerns about the EV charging when I had emailed back in February concerning the issues that I felt were in place, is that this is falling under the workplace section for EV charging, which says chargers may be public or private and must be shared, meaning that chargers are not assigned to a single employee, subset, or employees at the site, and are available as a community resource for the site. I don't know how we fall into that and maybe you can answer that question. I don't know. We are trading voicemails with the Department of Commerce. Next, TMC prohibited conduct. This is the part that I had a concern, that public employees should not use any or public funds for personal use. That is under the TMC. The RCW also says the same thing, that unless there's some de minimis cost or value, city employees cannot use public funds to benefit themselves, which is essentially a free tank of gas. And again, I didn't know that we were going to shift and say no city employees. So my concern when you ask me if court employees are held to a different standard, absolutely. I'm held to the Judicial Conduct Commission, which is the state ethics code. And it clearly in there says I must hold city employees, my court employees, to the same ethics standards. Which means that I cannot use public funds for personal use, nor can there be an appearance of impropriety. As an example, a judge was using parking at Seattle Municipal Court when he's the Seattle Municipal Judge, was paying very little for a parking pass that was reserved for commuting, and he said he was commuting. Well, the media got hold of it, followed him in his two-seater Corvette, and noticed that he, in fact, was not commuting with 4 people, was just arriving by himself. He should have been paying upwards to hundreds and hundreds of dollars for his parking space. So he was found to be responsible for violating the city ethic or for the state ethics codes for judges. My concern is that also applies to as an appearance of impropriety. We can't even look like we're breaking the law. So if there are EV chargers that are clearly marked, these are only for EV charging, I cannot ethically have my court employees park there without additional signage and perhaps an ordinance or something from the city that says you can't park here if you're not charging between the hours of, say, 0900 to 1700, so during a regular work day. I cannot have my court employees park there in violation of law. Just like I can't say, oh, we're full today. Oh, just take up one of those handicap spots because I know there's no handicapped people behind these walls. I can't do that. I can't give permission for the court employees to violate the law, nor appear that. This to me, is, especially if it's used by public employees, is headline stuff to me. You have, you know, getting an electric vehicle and getting a free charge every day is an extremely problematic situation. So my concern not only is for the parking spaces, which I think if the city is concerned about having electric vehicles in the future, like a fleet of electric police vehicles, that those conduits be placed over here where their vehicles are actually parked. It seems really short-sighted, and I don't know why the architects did this, but to put them here in the first place, who's going to be using those 2 charging vehicles in the future? I don't like permanent solutions to what we feel are temporary problems. The issue will be city vehicles need to have electric charging stations because someday we will have an electric fleet. The court will never have electric vehicles. Maybe code enforcement, maybe police. Then why can't that conduit be extended to here as an investment to get electric charging stations?
So I just want to try to land. So ethics thing, just city employees won't park, can't use it. So we can deal with that right then and there. We can look at putting a sign saying that it's we'll look into the legalities of that. So the ethics thing can be parked, right? Mm-hmm. I will check with all legal counsel on that. So then the next thing is, so ethics is gone. The next is the parking location. And if you guys can park there, if you can park there during the day, would you guys be okay with this? Because that was what Trish and I spoke about. And I owed her an email. I've been busy, but that we met on site. We walked. The one thing is there's plenty of additional parking. So if we ever ran into an issue, there is parking there along Military Avenue in that area to the north. But if we can go and land this where court can use it between 9 and 5, is that fine?
I mean, I would say there'd have to be signage. But then again, I question what are these for? I mean, again, I think it's great that you got this grant. If I could snap my fingers and have electric vehicles be the only ones on the road, I would.
So I would say that is a decision of how they're used. You know, so what we're doing here is hopefully planning for the future.
And I agree with you, but this doesn't seem like this location is planning for the future.
So I would say, I mean, right now we have no vehicles whatsoever.
Right.
Actually, how about this? Just pull it off the agenda. We won't go for the grant.
I've got a question for her just real quick. How many chargers? Two?
Two.
There's two.
Because there's conduit for two already there.
So let me clarify. Two at this location.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Two at Fleet.
No. I'm talking about this. Okay, so I'm sorry. I should have clarified that. Yeah. Okay, so we're only talking about two stalls there.
Yeah.
So we could, and I don't mean to be crass, but I this is not that big of a deal to me. I would just, I'll take this personal, but I would just repurpose two of the stalls over on that backside where the trailers are for courts. That, you know what I mean? I mean, if, you know, that
we can definitely do that.
I mean, I guess because if the grant money's there, I would like to see it, to be honest, you know, but I don't want to cut up anything that we don't have money to cut up, yeah. You know, and I totally get that we don't have fleet vehicles, but if the money is there, it might not come around again. Because pretty soon, you know, everybody's going to be, you know, looking for extra money and trying to get grants. If this grant money is available now, I would try to work diligently to figure this out. But that's my proposal. But if you want to pull this.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. No, I'm,
it's your call.
I will say I did talk to the police chief and the deputy police chief, and they said they had no concern for staff parking in that area up there, that it's open to them. I was up there. I saw plenty of stalls available. We can do an inventory of our parking and see what's available up there on the Wednesdays when court is in session.
Judge, how do you feel about that?
I honestly, if I've been pushing for signage in that parking area, because police are, I mean, we are very respectful of the location that these police vehicles are parked. Because I, you know, frankly, as former law enforcement.
Because police is not respectful of your space?
No, I'm just saying that I'm a former law enforcement officer myself. And so I understand staging your cars like this. My frustration is every time we have a vendor, every time we have any maintenance, they park here. And then we're stuck trying to figure out, you know, where do we go into the police area? So I've always pushed, let's figure out a way to designate a police area, court area, and have extra stalls for maintenance vehicles so maintenance can have a place to park. I don't have a problem with repurposing all of this. I agree with that. I just had concerns about, again, a solution for when there really isn't a problem. I mean, I don't know what we're solving with that.
So question.
Yeah.
If we have 270 something days to spend the money, is that, do we have to be under contract, or does it have to be like fully done and complete within 270 days?
Fully done and complete.
Okay. Well, it doesn't take 270 days to install chargers where conduit are already there.
Right. They're already there, the holes in the ground.
If we're just voting on accepting the grant or not accepting the grant, can we accept the grant with a contingency that we continue to discuss logistics of the actual plan?
Well, I think maybe verbiage like to reach.
Just a follow-up presentation will be made about where the parking stuff
reallocated. That's why I didn't include it, because we don't know those details at this time.
You're still going to have to actually do like the
We still have to hire it, but the design for it.
We'll have a project manager sign.
But there's time, but like 270 days, like there's time to do that. So I would say that I feel comfortable accepting the grant, saying that we're going to continue this conversation before we act on installing.
Let me just clarify this too. If we take money for this site with the $23,000 we have, those are the two parking stalls you're looking at. No matter how you slice and dice, we can't put it anywhere else because it takes digging.
Right.
That's understandable.
But that buys us time to look into signage or repurposing to other spots in the parking lot, whereas we don't necessarily have time to decide if we're going to take the grant or not.
To decide
and can I say this? It wouldn't be two extra or repurposing two different stalls. It would be repurposing four because the judge said that there's an issue of maintenance people parking in their spots.
Yeah.
You know, while you're at it, if you're redoing that, you might as well say, you know, have it so there's no concern because, again, you are taking what was historically, you know, courts, you know, two stalls. And if two stalls are being taken by, you know, McKinstry or Randolph Plumbing and Heating, you know, it's not fair because then they're losing four. So I think that a simple thing would be to get with Trish or the judge, you know, and find out, you know, where they would like to be and then where the maintenance should be.
So I think valid concerns were being brought up. And what we'll do is probably move forward with this, vote on it, and then...
I don't know, it'll be a follow-up. How about we will come back to you, not at the next meeting, but the following meeting, and we'll give you, we'll meet with court and PD and facilities, and we'll look at to how we would mark the stalls and allocate parking up at the Justice Center. Does that sound good?
Do you know our meetings are monthly?
Yes, that's right. I forgot. So next month. I'm sorry.
Just because we've had to do so much research, is it's granted under workplace, is that we find out how this meets this last definition where it says it may be public or private, must be shared. So in other words, it cannot be just for a particular employee or just for public works or whatever. But they also added and are available as a community resource for the site. I don't understand that particular definition and how it meets that. So I'm just asking if we can clarify that.
I asked the Department of Commerce, like, I was like, are these... They said they don't have a preference if employees use them for their personal vehicle or not. That was a city decision.
Yeah, so what I was
saying... And it sounds like we've made
Katrine,
that
decision. We're get with legal counsel, the city's city attorney, and we'll clarify this, and then we'll talk to Commerce.
Right. I think what we understood is the Department of Commerce is trying to come up with this grant. So right now it's wide open. They're encouraging everybody to use electric vehicles. So they're trying not to put too many stipulations on it. But if we as a city have a concern and ethics issue, we could say you have to use a credit card, you have to use a certain way so that you can charge. There are ways to make this legal.
And charge for it charge and then it. Have like a city account, just like the city vehicles get gas.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, my only question is, what does it mean, community resource? Because does that mean like, I know you guys brought it up, but like, so... Because who will be paying, right? Is the city going to be paying for random people who want to park there?
So I think Kari brought up a really good concern. I mean, most of the time when you charge, you use a credit card. You can look at a system if the community used it, it would...
All the spots at like Target.
Exactly.
They're like,
Okay,
got it. All right, so more details will be brought up at the next meeting.
Yeah.
But, do we have council consensus to move...
to accept grant?
To accept the electric vehicle charging station grant acceptance. Accept the electric vehicle charging station grant with the amendment that it will...
Logistics will come back to you in a month. It's going to go to your April 1st consent agenda.
Okay.
Let me make it clear. The acceptance will happen without that amendment. The details will come
in.
Okay, got it. So either way, it will be there. Right. Okay. Do we have consensus on council members?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And thanks for everyone for being here for this agenda.
Thank you, Bridges, for bringing the concerns to
us. Chair, just to update, so we went 35 minutes on that one.
Yes.
So we have eight items that need committee action, and we have about 40 minutes.
Which
you guys know specific ones that you have questions about and which items you don't have questions about? Because if we know there's items that we don't have questions about, we should prioritize.
No, items on A and B and C for me. so that burn through those real quick.
You know, my questions are really big. Like, I'm in favor with all of them, and I'd be happy to move them all to the regular meeting.
I'll continue to provide time updates.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that other than the last item,
we have to vote on each one. Do you want to just like summarize it in like two, three sentences each one, and then if council members have questions, you can move to the regular agenda.
The people responsible for presenting definitely can.
Okay. All right, so then we'll move to the next.
Know that we all read our packets and are prepared.
All right. So next agenda item is agenda A, PSRC grant of application South King County. And who will be presenting on this?
I'm Allison Turner. Hi. I'm the Sustainable Transportation Program Manager, and I lead the Transportation Demand Management Team, which is in DCD. And I'm here to ask for a decision to apply for grant funding through Puget Sound Regional Council's project selection process. So just some background, we currently have funding from this process. It's federal funding that we applied for in 2020, and we're currently implementing that grant. This one would start in 2027. It does require a match of 13.5%. Our program is 100% grant funded, so this would not impact the general fund. We would be using another grant as match for this, and that funding source is the Commute Trip Reduction Grant, which is through the state. That's what we did with our current one. And so the total amount, will be $550,000.
Councilmembers have any questions?
So just clarifying, the match from the commute trip reduction will be $85,838, correct?
Yeah, so okay. That's 13.5%.
Okay. No more questions? I make a motion that we accept the
PSRC. Oh, we have to make a motion. We do have consensus on the, right? Do we say you do
this head nod for?
Yeah, do you have consensus to the regular to the regular meeting?
Go.
All right. This doesn't even go to me.
Yeah, you can apply for the grant.
We'll get back if we get the grant.
Yes,
exactly. Next agenda item is agenda B, Washington State Department of Transportation Regional Mobility Grant Application. Also, Alexis, yes.
Allison,
sorry.
Similar project. This is for funding for the Transportation Demand Management Program. This would be for a four-year state grant. Like the other one I described, we currently have funding through this source, and we also use the same matching funding source, the Commute Trip Reduction Program, to apply for it. Multiple sources can be used as match, but we just use this same source because it's secured. We don't have to apply for it. We just get awarded it every 2 years. So that's why we use it as the source for application. So the total amount would be $832,000. And then 20% of that needs to be matched, which is $208,000. And this would also not impact the general fund because the match would come from other grant funding.
I'm okay with it.
Me too.
Same here. Do we have that's a consensus from the... Oh, actually, we don't need consensus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good.
Thank you, Allison.
All right, next agenda item is item C, purchase authorization for 83 LED King Lumineers.
This will be David DeGroote. Yeah.
Hi, I'm David DeGroote with the Superintendent of the Street Department, and I am asking for approval to purchase 83 conversion kits to enhance the lighting on TIB. Last year we did a kind of a pilot program and we replaced 20 of them, and we realized it really brightened up the sidewalk and made pedestrian safety a lot better up there. The funding would come out of the ARPA funding, the American Rescue Plan Act. So this is funds that are already there and available. We're just asking for approval to for $104,000 roughly.
Councilmember, do you have any questions?
Just one quick question. When did the ARPA funds expire? Because I know there's some expirations.
End of this year.
End of this year? Okay. No more corrections. I'm okay with it.
Andrew, do you have a question?
No questions. I'm okay with it.
My only question is, I believe I saw that we are purchasing these kits from City of SeaTac. Why is that?
No, that's SeaTac lighting. They're actually a company.
Well, I don't have any questions.
Just like Tacoma Screw, like they're all over.
Do we have a consensus from the council members to move this to extend the agenda at the April 1st meeting?
Yes.
Great. Next agenda item is item D, surface water fund, stormwater, asphalt water quality retrofit project bid award.
And who's
Mr. Hopkins?
Yeah. Josh. Hello, good evening. My name is Joshua Hopkins. I am the surface water project manager, and I'm here to ask council to award the Stormwater Outfalls Water Quality Retrofit Project to Road Construction Northwest in the amount of $928,288.50 and consider this item on the consent agenda for April 1st. Roadway construction was the low bidder. The next highest bid was 9.2% higher. And this project will install two water quality outfall retrofits. I said that a little mixed up. There's two outfalls, one's the Riverton Creek and one's the Duwamish River. The one on the Duwamish River is over on East, or what does it say? Interurban Avenue South, and the other one's on Tukwila International Boulevard, and that one goes to Riverton Creek.
Councilmember, do you have any questions?
I just have one question. Was the engineer's estimate done at the same time that you put the RFP out for bids, or was it done previously?
It was done previously.
You know how far previously?
Done pretty
I don't
much
have an exact date.
Okay. I was just curious because it's the $78,000-ish difference.
It happens.
Yeah, but going through the bid, like, I mean, it's all over. Like, estimate was higher on some things, and it was more me wondering if it was inflation. I have no issues. I approve.
Yeah, the only statement I have is that, you know, the engineer's estimate is roughly what it's going these days. You know, they're always a little bit lower than the actual cost. Supply and demand. I'm okay with it.
I just have one question. Sydney, you're here, right?
I am here. Yeah.
I believe I looked into references. It says that they called you and you said.
No. I actually have had conversations with Josh.
Are you happy with the construction?
Road Construction Northwest has done three pretty big projects for us. They did the Andover Park West and the Transit Center project.
Okay.
Andover Park, all of that. They did that many years ago. They did the road diet on Baker Boulevard. And the sidewalk on Christensen, and they're just now finishing up the West Valley Highway project, all the work that's out there and the stuff that was out at the Long Acres. So
the experience so far has been
I love them. They're a great firm. Great. And so I expressed that to Josh that I've never had any issues of working with them at all.
Did he call you when you go on vacation?
No, he called me after I was back. So it is pretty funny when they put down
That's why I mentioned it. Okay. Yeah. Well, it requires to be moved to the
consent agenda.
Do we have consensus on our council members to move this item to the consent agenda to the April 1st meeting?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to our next business item, which is consultant contract organic diversion and reduction, which is item E.
All right. My name is Colleen Minion. I'm the solid waste analyst with Public Works, and the next three agenda items are all related to each other. So the first one, basically the background is that we received in September a King County grant, a REPLUS grant for $83,000 to conduct basically try to get food service businesses in Tukwila to divert organics and to sign up for organic service. And we partnered with the cities of Maple Valley and Burien into this grant to make it more competitive, and we were awarded it. And so this is to hire a consultant to do that work, to go into the businesses, to work with them, educate staff members, get them to sign up for organic service, and provide signage, and to do basically handhold them to make sure that it's all done correctly. So the amount of the RE-PLUS grant is $83,000, and then there's a grant that is a next letter or two letters from now is the ecology grant, which is going to be $17,000 of that will be added together for $100,000 to pay for a consulting contract, which is Cascadia Consulting.
Council members, do you have any questions?
I just one quick one. How many businesses are we talking about that they're going to build?
The goal is that each city will have 25 businesses signed up, and the contract would go until June 30th of 2025.
Just a comment. That's a low bar. You know what I mean? $100,000, that's a low bar.
Well, it's 25 in each city, so 75 total businesses. And we had
it's a low bar.
It sounds low. It does sound low, but we have had consultants. We had many meetings with different firms that said, wow, that is really high. So we're kind of in the middle there.
Wow. I mean,
people sign up for stuff like that.
I get what you're saying. I totally understand. But I mean, that kind of money, I mean, when it's a grant, I get that. I totally understand that. But it's like, wow, they're getting $25,000. And even on it, we're getting $23,000 for electric stations, you know, and to contact 25 restaurants, basically, is what it amounts to.
I think they're estimating it's going to be, you know, reaching out to 100, hoping for 25 to sign up. So there's a lot of, cold calls that they're doing. So they're going out there, and it's also developing the signage. It's working with translators to go and to go visit. The focus is also to work with frontline community businesses. So it's not focusing on really large locations. Yeah. And so
it's $100,000 for all three cities, together.
Combined,
yeah. So really, it's 25 businesses for, $33,000. So thousand and a half. My math's really bad today.
The idea from King County is they're using this RE-PLUS money to do these pilot projects and see what works, doesn't work, and whatever works, release that out to the rest of King County
It's the first time they're doing it.
Yeah.
So I think usually the effort is a little bit more on the first time, trying to goad people into doing something they're not doing, and it's a practice they have to do from their business. But I understand supply and demand. I guess that's what's going on.
Yeah. Well, that's just a personal opinion. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and go with it, but just out of curiosity, so Cascadia has never done this before then?
They have not done it.
Because, I mean, he's saying this is a pilot program.
It is a pilot program. They have done it for other cities, but just with a different kind of, I guess, spin to it. Ours, because we're focused on smaller businesses, they're used to going to targeting the larger businesses for the larger banks and for organics diversion. So ours is focused on smaller places that might get looked over for that education reach.
You need to answer that?
No.
Why don't you bring some milk or something? Okay, I'm all right.
Councilmember Hendrick, do you have a question?
No questions.
I looked at the price tag too, and I was like, wow, that's a high number. But my question is, how is it decided that the funds will be used to get a consultant or you hire an employee? Is there a reason why, a temporary employee, wouldn't it be better? How did the city decide
that it would be better use of funds instead of hiring a temporary employee with one of the cities to work with all three cities instead of hiring it was a better deal to get a consultant.
I think for timing, it's probably faster to hire a consultant that can start the work and not go through the process of getting, the permission to hire, have an open position to hire for and to train.
I think what Colleen did is she has discussed with other students and kind of anybody has the expertise, anybody has skill set, has anybody done this before? And also, like what Colleen said, this is grant money one time, we're done with it. If we hire somebody and we keep them on board, it's going to continue to cost. And we don't know if an employee could deliver this or not, because we don't have a proven track record of something like this being done. But if this persists, this is something we can discuss with other cities. If this goes on every year, we can try and come up with an employee. But we're very interested to see the first time what tactics that this company employ and how they approach with local businesses, different languages.
I think it makes sense what you're saying, except that we also don't know whether the consulting firm has the expertise either, right? Because this is so new.
They usually do. And sometimes the consultants have a lot more people with different types of expertise. Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, we do this a lot. We hire a lot of consultants because we don't have somebody that can do this specific thing or this specific thing and this, and they all have to come together to get that finalized product. Mm-hmm. But if this does work out, then there could be a programmatic approach that they could potentially have an employee that will run. But when it's a pilot program, they're tough. They're really tough to do because we don't know how it's going to work, how successful, what is going to work best. And so in this case, it is a lot faster to hire a consultant than it is to get an open position to hire.
And the last thing I'll say, I guess, isn't it strange that for Chicola, wouldn't it be better if this firm focused on the larger businesses? Because we have such a large retail space and mm-hmm. most of the consumption and the waste.
We wouldn't have gotten the grant.
Oh, really?
Because it's very small. Specifically written for frontline businesses and that we targeted them. We probably would not have ranked as high. This grant was very competitive.
Okay. Council members, do you have any questions?
Just one comment to follow up on yours. I'd rather than have a consultant. I don't like the fact that if we hire somebody, then they're in front of us a year now looking for a full-time position.
Well, specifically mentioned as a temporary job.
They're all temporary. I've heard it for years. They're all temporary. So I'm okay with a consultant. Just following and going to.
Okay. Well, either way, so do we have consensus from the council members to move this item to the consent agenda on April 1st?
Yes.
Okay. It's been approved. Moving on to, again, the next item, which is very similar, which is related to this one.
Yeah, so this is the grant from Ecology that we're getting in the amount of $50,000. This is was written to basically complement the REPLUS grant. The REPLUS grant is written very specifically to increase diversion of organics, and the REFLUS grant is written to focus on food waste production.
It's like the AC kicked on.
This grant is focusing on the food waste reduction and also contamination reduction, because sometimes if you get your an organic collection container, that could just increase the contamination just as another trash bin. So this grant was written specifically for that, but also for a portion of it to go towards residential outreach, to focus on food waste reduction, to hold workshops, buy some giveaways to help promote food waste reduction. So of this, the estimate is about $17,000 is going to go towards the consulting contract, the aforementioned. And this does have a match. So with the match, that's $12,500 would be the match, and that would be the REPLUS grant money.
All right, Councilor, do you have any questions?
Go ahead. So with the match grant of $12,500, that means nothing will come out of the general fund, correct?
Correct.
All right. That's it.
Councilmember Hendricks?
No question.
Councilmembers, yeah, would you have consensus to move this consent agenda, this agenda, this agenda item to the
consent agenda?
Or consent
agenda. April 1st, regular consent agenda. Yep.
Right. Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. Next agenda item is interlocal, again, same item, interlocal agreement with the City of Tukwila, the City of Maple Valley, and the City of Burien for food waste prevention diversion outreach.
And then I got a note from Laurel about this one that it won't need to go to the April 15th meeting. It'll go to the April 1st unfinished business, and then we'll be voted on that night. So it'll only go to one more meeting after this.
So again, this is related to the aforementioned items. This is the interlocal agreement to work with the City of Maple Valley and City of Burien to...
Councilmember, any questions?
No questions.
Mm-hmm. But you still approve it to move forward, not that they consented to it, but rather to.
Do we have consensus to move this agenda item forward?
Yes.
All right. So we have unanimous support.
Not the sharp
Next agenda item is item I, major pavement overlay and repairs, National Highway System Asset Management Grant Awards.
Hi again. So I am asking for council to accept three WSDOT grant awards through their asset management program, and this will fund pavement repairs and overlay at three locations. Those locations are the Boeing Access Road, Aurelia Road South, and Interurban Avenue South. This is a new grant program that we've never applied for in the past. It is also a no-match grant program. We initially were just going to apply for the Boeing Access Road, and then as we were preparing the application, realized we were able to apply for up to three applications, and with no match, we thought, why not? And then we got all three awards. So Boeing Access Road is $3,990,000, Aurelia is $1,309,000, and Interurban is $4,958,000. So asking for council approval and to consider this at the consent agenda on April 1st.
Yeah, I just want to take a quick second and say thank you to Katrine and Adam Cox who worked on this. Like they mentioned, they just thought they would apply three so that they would get one, but they got all three.
And it's done for design, construction management, and construction.
I'm okay with it.
Me too.
Do we have consensus to move?
Yes.
Do I have to repeat that after they both said that?
You just sort of state it for the record.
Okay, for the record, all three council members would like to move this agenda item forward to the regular council meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah, way to go on those large grants. And the last item of the day is local road safety plan update. Hello there.
Hi. So I'm really here for a reason. And you know, kudos to the work that Katrina and Adam did. I got in a little bit on it, but getting those overlay grants is a big deal. Tukwila is not eligible for overlay grants from our normal sources because our city is worth too much money, and so we're explicitly excluded. But with those being on the WSDOT National Highway System app, we were able to get them, and yeah, we had all these conversations. We all were kind of like, well, what if we get all three? All of them. And we get all three, and now we're all like, holy crap, what do we do, right?
Well, I got three emails at the same time, 10:08 or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just duplicate, so
congratulations. So, I mean, that was just a really, really big deal, and you know, as you'll probably be hearing as we go through the budget process, we just really don't have enough money in our overlay program to get to some of these bigger things. And so this has been a really great relief for us in engineering to be able to say, wow, we'll be able to kick some of these really big problems. Not that we don't have more, but these ones at least we can take care of, and it's free, basically, other than the staff time to manage it. So, I mean, that's just a great thing. Anyway, so I am here tonight to talk to you, and this is actually not going to be moving anything on, but I just wanted to brief you guys. You're all new, so I get to tell you the whole story. So I'm really glad there's enough time where I can kind of talk about this.
Us time to get back over there.
You know, I have been known to talk a bit, but I will do my best. So And I don't know how much you are aware of, but right now we're going through an update to the comprehensive plan, and it's larger, and I'm focused on the transportation element, so just everything that is transportation. So we'll be developing a very hefty background report that has just massive amounts of analysis, and then some policy statements out of it. The draft policy statement's not complete, has just recently gone through the Planning Commission, through their public hearing, although I've still got active work that's going on that I can't have policies for yet because it's still underway. But that will be coming to the council later this, probably summer, I think is the schedule, for going through the process that has to be done in order to get the comprehensive plan adopted by council, make sure that we're in compliance with the Puget Sound Regional Council, and that we are coordinating with King County, with surrounding agencies, with Puget Sound Regional Council, as well with, you know, understanding the entirety of the transportation impacts and the growth that's associated. Land use and growth really can't be separated because land use changes generate transportation changes, and this document is intended to be a, you know, a 20-year window. What are we looking at for the next 20 years? How are we going to accommodate all of these growth, all of these changes, meet all of these long-term goals? So that goes kind of globally for the entire comprehensive plan. And specifically within transportation, I have to be able to say, this is some land use that I know is coming. There's some densification. There's some changes in zoning. And my analysis is, do we have the adequate facilities? If it was a water pipe, is a water pipe big enough to get all the water through that's needed, except that I'm dealing with roads. And we do have the utilities that are dealing with them. So this would normally inform us on our future needs for projects that we would have to do to provide adequate capacity so that we could maintain our level of service standard. And that is a standard that is adopted through this transportation element. And it's something that guides us to say, can this land use development be approved because we know that we are going to have the actual roadway capacity to allow it to happen, or will we have to require them to mitigate or other things? Mm-hmm. So we've always tried to be extremely proactive and make sure that we are projecting out enough so that the capacity has always been there. We've not had to deny any type of development since we started doing well, I joined the city in 2001, so, I mean, we may all be temporary employees, as Councilmember Martinez has suspected. Some of us are longer temporary than others, but we've never denied the development because we didn't have the roadway capacity. So we've done that so that we can help the council give you the information you need for future budgeting on projects that we are going to have to do. I work with Katrine, and I've applied for plenty of grants myself to make sure that we do this. This time, though, with this update, we are going to be doing a local road safety plan, which is what specifically I want to kind of talk a little bit about what we're doing on that here. And a local road safety plan is something that is becoming more and more important that we have an adopted local road safety plan. First off, the federal government and WSDOT, Washington State Department of Transportation, has these goals, these target zeros or these vision zeros, planning policy documents to try to get to the point where we have zero preventable accidents. There's always going to be accidents, but trying to make sure that the facilities that we have are safe and are going to eliminate, will never completely happen in my opinion, but do our best to eliminate any of these preventable accidents. So the local road safety plan is how we, jurisdictional level, are going to start identifying where we have problems, where we're going to need to look at doing some engineering and making some physical improvements to help meet those target zero projects. The local road safety plan is also becoming something that's going to be required for many of the grant applications and the grant programs that we have applied for and been successful in the past years. But it also opens us up to additional federal money that is being released with the Infrastructure Act that is designed to help implement the projects that we've got in the local road safety plan. So this effort is just getting underway right now and starting to do what we need to do. And attached to this document is kind of just a checklist. You kind of have an idea of all the things that we have to meet. This is a federally funded grant for $200,000 that we got last year. We got a $50,000 city match, so it's $250,000 that I'm dovetailing into the larger effort of the transportation element. that will help give you, the council, the more complete picture of not just what do we have to do for future growth, future land use changes, et cetera, but also what do we have to do to keep our streets safe. And that's been my goal all along, is to give you guys the best information on what transportation needs are going to cost, so that you have an idea for now budgeting and future budgeting where we're going to have to go. So in order to really get started on this local road safety plan, we've started collecting all of the background data, the current accident analysis. We're trying to get information out of our GIS department for, you know, some other information so that we can have the tool available that we can go through and say, oh, this is what we will need to do. These are things that are going to need some improvement. Also, as part of the transportation element, we're looking at a non-motorized, multimodal level of service. We've tried that in the past, as opposed to just a vehicular level of service, which is typically based on a delay. We're now trying to move into this multimodal level of service, so we're considering not only vehicles, but pedestrians, bicyclists, transit, et cetera. And this all feeds into this local road safety plan, because it's for all users. So we're not going to be just looking at stopping car accidents, but, you know, car pedestrian accidents, bicycle accidents, et cetera. In order to really get going, part of the federal funding that we have requires that we have a task force, a guiding body that's going to help us develop this plan, help us prioritize some of the projects that we need to do. And we will have to have a continuation of this task force to help us on an annual basis as we're updating things, et cetera. So this is where we find ourselves right now, is we are going to start working on developing that task force and starting really getting into the nitty-gritty details of what has to go in to this local road safety. Where are our problems? We've already done tons of outreach as part of the transportation element and talked with a lot of residents. We've talked with businesses. We've talked with some organizations. We have already been hearing a lot of safety concerns, but this is now going into even a bigger detail. So I just wanted to update you so you had an understanding, because it's a big process. I mean, comp plan updates, and you're going to be inundated soon enough with them. But because we're doing something brand new this year with this transportation element on what we're doing. So we need to start forming our task force. And we were kind of like, how do we present this to you, the council, to, you know, just kind of give you an idea. But we want to involve people as far as this task force. We haven't necessarily decided on final memberships, but we want to include the police department, the fire department, our streets department, and, well, we've still got Brian here. There's King County Public Health. There's a group that we're working with that's getting some funding for, that we're going to give some money for some signs, because their goal is to help support this Vision Zero. We might try to involve them. We've got our public, all of our transit agencies, public schools, bike and pedestrian advocacy groups, which if Allison were here, there's like Cascade Bicycle Group that I know she interacts with. Other representatives from other organizations, do we have somebody who's just a citizen that is interested? All of these things. And then we will come back and certainly update either this committee or a full council as we're going through this process on what the recommendations are, what are the priorities, where are we finding that there are issues. So I just felt like with the starting of and starting to form that task force, we may not name it a task force, but that's what we're referring to it as right now. Felt like a really good time to kind of brief you as to what we're doing on this larger effort. So
Cindy, yeah. I have a question on this. Uh-huh. How do we connect this with the public transportation demand for buses, bus rapid transit? And I know you're going to work with Allison.
Yeah. And I certainly work with Allison a lot. And also part of the transportation element is our update to our transit. So we have a component, we have a consultant that we've worked with since, well, basically I started here, that has helped us in the past with developing transit needs and also giving us information to help with our transit advocacy. We don't control the transit agency, so we can't say, oh, you shall put this here, but it does allow us for advocacy. And that the work that they've done in the past has been absolutely key. They are the ones who identified the need for the transit center that we have out here on Ann Arbor Park West. It used to be, I know that Councilman Martinez was here long enough to know what this is. I don't know as far as your, the other two council members here, your tenure here in the city, but that used to be horrible. Like one shelter and people were miserable in the rain. It's hysterical. You look at some of the pictures.
I used to work at Jesse Penney.
Yeah.
That's my first like legal job.
So you understand. What we have out there is a massive improvement to what we had. They helped us with the advocacy with Sound Transit and the ST3 with the lobbying to make sure that we get that Boeing Access Road station. So there is a linkage through the transportation element, but there's also a linkage on, we've heard a lot of people commenting about their concerns as far as safety, whether it's actual safety or perceived safety, on riding on transit or staying at the transit stop. So it is all interlinked. And in my mind, all of this transportation stuff needs to be interlinked. And that's what I'm trying to do, is weave this together. So if we can get a representative from the King County Metro or Sound Transit to be on this task committee, it will certainly help. And my consultants tell me they just lost one of their employees to King County Metro, so they might have it in for us. So that's how we're trying to link all of this together. And if you have any other questions, I mean, it's a big process, but I'm here to help explain as much as I can in your like 3 or 4 minutes you have.
Just real quick, you know, part of the transportation was, you know, was in the planning commission, being there for 6 years.
Yes.
I know what's going on. But I was just tapping her on the shoulder earlier, because last week I attended the South County Area Transportation Board, Skateboard. Yeah, and they specifically asked me what this Tukwila, you know, need in the area of transportation. So Harvey gave me a number, a person to contact. I will contact them. My only thing I always remember is Allentown wanting a Metro bus line, you know.
Yes.
So I threw that out there as one thing. I said, but we have more. I said, you know, I'm only 3 months into this. Allow me to get going again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I will have more for them now that I will contact Public Works.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we've definitely heard the concerns about Allentown not having transit service. I mean, there is the it was via, it's now Metroflex. It's definitely one of the destinations that they've served in the TCC area. It's well on my radar as something that
I guess something I want this to become something to be considered is the youth that attend schools in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, I know like Museum of Flight is really inaccessible, and there's really not a lot of sidewalks even to get there. So we make that area more walkable, safer to get. I know there's a school there, the Riceback School,
mm-hmm.
on the Museum of Flight.
School.
Areas in our community where it's like, where there aren't really residents living, maybe considering those parts of the city as well.
Yeah.
And then in the future, I see South Center District becoming a really, really busy area.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking about future public transportation that could go through it, I mean, like, this is enormous taking that probably might not ever happen, but imagining large, big projects like a light rail coming to down to the mall area,
mm-hmm.
where potentially there could be 20,000 people living in that area and make that a downtown center. So
yeah,
just thinking big.
Absolutely. And we're aware of a lot of talk as far as that potential stub line or,
right.
you know, continuation somewhere. And we've certainly always advocated, the city's always advocated to get light rail down to the South Center.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been successful yet. Doesn't mean we're not going to keep trying. And certainly that's been in the back of my mind when I was working on the transit center project and other things. So we're well aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the multimodal level of service will be identifying where we're missing sidewalk links,
right.
because that's super important. And it is not just in residential areas, it's absolutely the commercial areas. We know that South Center, we're already seeing it change with the South Center sub-area plan and all of the investments that we've built out there.
Right.
It's changing rapidly, and we have to be prepared to be able to support that. And that is exactly why we do this transportation element, so that we can think these big pictures.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the presentation.
Yes.
Yeah. Appreciate it. And we will adjourn the meeting at 6:45.
Okay.
Thank you so much.